sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters, period. Hey, you guys, this is Judy. I just want to put a note out there before we start the podcast that Patricia and I are not doctors. We're not nurses. We're doing the best we can with the information. And we recorded this a little while ago. I am putting the link in the show notes to the New York City Health article, Sex and Coronavirus Disease 2019, that has their guidelines that are fairly descriptive. And we will mention this in our discussion. It is impressively direct. I think that is absolutely fantastic. But a couple things that I just want to mention that Patricia and I touch on, but I want to give a little more detail here. I was going to put it at the end, but I thought I'm just going to stick it up in front and we'll talk about it later in our conversation. Keep this information in mind. The safest sex partner you can have is yourself. The second safest is somebody else that you are quarantined with. And of course, we're talking about where unsafe sex comes in is when you don't know the person. So this is not the time for hookups. This is not the time for sex parties. This is not the time for anybody that you don't know. That is where it can get really dangerous. We talk about oral sex in here, and that can be fine, of course, especially if it's a partner that you know and you know that they're safe. But if you're not sure and you still want to have oral sex, make sure you're jumping through the hoops of showering, washing your hands beforehand and after. You're not going to get it from the act of oral sex, but anywhere the saliva goes, as far as I understand it today when this is released, the saliva is, of course, the problem. So if you touch your hand or they touch themselves after you have had your mouth on them and then they put it into their mouth or whatever, that's where they're going to catch it. So just think about that. One of the articles that I was talking about how, yes, it's a thing we can do, but there are, in a sense, a lot of hoops we have to jump through. And if you're fine with jumping through those hoops, it's just not common practice. This is common sense, but it's really not common sense. It's not something we're practiced at being this clean and this particular about our saliva and our exhale, our breath. So just know that this takes a little bit of work to get used to all of these things until you have been together for a while in quarantine, perhaps, and know exactly what you're risking. We're going to address that more. We talk about anal sex a little bit. New York Department of Health does mention rimming specifically. So it's probably something that you just want to avoid. And mentioning, no matter what kind of sex you're having, yourself or otherwise, make sure that you're washing your hands before and after. Remember, at least 20 seconds. Make sure that you're getting your nail beds, the whole bit. So again, I will post that link to the New York guidelines online or on the show notes, and you can utilize that as a reference as well. I hope you're all taking care. I hope quarantine, if you're in quarantine, is treating you well, and stay safe. Hey, Patricia.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm actually doing amazingly well right now. We'll see how long that lasts, but I'm doing all right.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to be talking to you because I'm getting a little rammy.
Yeah.
I'm more extroverted, I think. So this is really kind of difficult for me to not be out and amongst the peoples.
It is. I think it's an interesting learning about ourselves, right? I mean, and I'm sort of an
extroverted introvert.
Oh, yes. I'd say that's probably what I am too. So, I enjoy my quiet time.
I'm okay. You know, I want to figure out what I can do and regroup and take a little time at some point to sit down and read a book, you know, and take advantage of this sort of stuck in the house thing. But it's been all right. But I know that that's not the case for everybody. And I'm by myself, so I don't have anybody to fight with or be frustrated with that they're in my space. Because if that was the case, I would have a really hard time with that.
Well, I will say that I did just start a Facebook group. I know you were on there yesterday. I started a Facebook group called Close Quarters, and it's about sparking intimacy during the quarantine and beyond. It really can be a challenge to have your patterns and your habits and your lifestyle totally turned upside down and be forced or have to choose to be in the actual proximity with your partner or spouse if you are not connected intimately anymore. This can be a real challenge. You might be friends, you might be a good roommates, you might, you know, but if you're not connected intimately, this could be a real challenge. We don't know how long this is going to last. So sparking intimacy is really more about getting back to the root of why you liked each other in the first place. Mm-hmm. If it's still there, acknowledging your values, communicating, physical touch, which is, we're going to talk some more about that. But, yeah, feel free to tune into that. It's open to anybody who wants to join. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to see my helpful hints about sparking intimacy with your partner during quarantine, I'm going on every day. And actually, the next couple of days I'll be on, you can find the replay. You'll find the replay. This is going to come out after. But I'll be on my Facebook group reading sections of my new book. Nice. Chapters over the next week, because it's all about embracing your sexual energy. So if we can all do that on an individual basis, maybe we'll have a real a movement or something where everybody just kind of starts coming back together again in their marriages, and it's a happy place instead of people looking to, you know, explore outside of their marriages or have divorces and affairs and, you know, porn and all that kind of stuff as issues. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's certainly a good time to sort of figure out how to reset or set, in a sense, ground rules sounds too tough, but you know, when you are in a place of, okay, we are here and this is going to at least last for a few weeks, but we don't know how long.
Yeah.
How can you sort of set it up so that you can calm things before they even become challenges, you know, and how can you agree to communicate to each other that I need my space or whatever the case might be. I mean, my gosh, I was listening to one of the podcasts I listened to, and there was a couple, it was a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they were in Poland. So in Poland, you cannot go outside, like you are at home. And so they are, you know, quarantining together and deciding, do we quarantine together or do we quarantine separately? Like, how do we want to actually do this? Which I think is a pretty legit question.
I've heard of a lot of couples who one of them goes and quarantines in a hotel. I mean, hotels are facilitating some quarantine. They still have a purpose. There are people who are going there specifically to get away from everybody, and they just refuse housekeeping, and they disinfect their own space, and they get delivery to their door, just like so many Americans are doing to their homes right now. So hotels are not the enemy. I just want to put that out there, because I feel like they're getting a really bad rap. But let me ask you, I mean, like, if you're, I know that your situation is that you're single, but right now, like, in looking at my relationships or even anybody else's relationship that I'm coaching, I ask questions, and those questions are often questions like, well, what is it that you really want out of this relationship? Mm-hmm. What is it? And how well is what you're doing right now working? You know, is where you're both at right now the best way to get to what you want? Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, what's it costing you? What, you know, is arguing all the time or avoiding each other or just existing in each other's presence? What's that costing you? Is it costing you happiness? Is it costing you your freedom? Is it costing you freedom of expression? Is it costing you connection? And if there was another way to get what you wanted, would you do it? Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. So we need to, just like we explore our minds around fitness or dieting or anxiety or communication, you know, all those EQ things that we're taught in business to be looking at for the sake of our companies or our employment, I often bring back relationships to the idea that your home is like a business. Your relationship is a business arrangement. You know, what's your HR department doing? where are you in your HR department in your relationship, right? Who's got the reins there, and where's the buy-in? So maybe this is a great time for you to have a couple of workshops around that where you're increasing your communication, increasing just some quality time together. You know, try really hard to make that intentional versus a sentence. Mm-hmm. It's often said that either, you know, when you're put in prison, that you do your time or the time does you. Mm-hmm. Right? So, uh-huh. So let's think about quarantine like this. We're kind of being sentenced to staying at home and being in close quarters with people in our family because that's where home is to everybody. And how are we going to do that? And this doesn't even just go to your sexual partner. This goes with your kids or your parents or whatever else. I mean, really try and look at what that relationship means to you. What value do you place on that relationship? And where is it now? And where do you want it to be? Now is a time where you can have their undivided attention, mm-hmm. you know, in a good way or a bad way. So choose wisely.
I saw something the other day about, you know, with parents and kids all being at home and homeschooling, and they said this might be a really good time to have family meetings, or, you know, to figure out, to really sit down and work together. How is this going to work? How are you going to do this?
Start setting up some healthy boundaries. Like after a certain time, you shut your phones off. You don't watch the news all day long. You know, maybe you make the rule that you all do eat together and that you're not just eating randomly in your corners of the house. Maybe you make a rule that you do have a family meeting, or as a couple that at a certain time you go into bed and you have some cuddle time. I mean, you can, now is a really good time to establish some new healthy habits or routines that can really spark that intimacy in your relationship. Right. Just because the coronavirus is going on doesn't mean it can't be a win-win situation. Hopefully nobody in your house is immunocompromised or dealing with health issues or anything like that, that is making this a super scary time. But let's think about that too. If that is the case, be intimate with your partner. I mean, be plugged in, because it could be the end of your relationship. I mean, I don't want to be a doomsdayer, but even in my relationship with my husband, he's 20 years older than me. You know, if he were to get sick and die, these are the last days I have to spend with him.
Right.
So why not plug in and make them good days? You know, so I don't want to think that way. That's not my intention. I don't hope that happens, obviously, but
it is a very real thing. And if it happens, you know, I think
how much regret might be attached to that.
Right. Exactly. Right? It's something to be aware of and be mindful of, because it is a true reality that I think if we don't face on some level and acknowledge on some level, we're being very short-sighted too. I mean, there's a ton of people in other states and other countries who are in that same boat of saying, I had no warning, you guys have warning.
Yeah, right. So I think, you know, acknowledging the fact that intimacy is important is is key. And we're acknowledging the fact that the coronavirus is out there. And we, Judy and I were discussing this before we started to record, that we really do want you to be responsible listeners, in that it's not really the best time for hookups. You know, the Tinder thing is great, but going out and having random sexual encounters with people and swapping spit is not necessarily the way to stop this virus from spreading.
Right. And you don't know their intent.
Yeah. And
this,
you don't
person
know.
Could be a really nice person, you think, but maybe they're an asymptomatic person who knows or doesn't know, or, you know, and just taking even just a good hearted, honest person. Hey, I don't have symptoms. Come on over. Let's have a good time. But then you end up finding out you have it later. And, you know, so if you've already done that, make sure you have connection with that person, just in case something happens to one of you that you can let the other know, because that's only fair. You know,
right.
Just like if you were to get a sexually transmitted disease, you would be responsible for letting all of your partners know. This is the same kind of thing. In fact, in some ways more, just as maybe more crucial, because it's not just sexually transmitted, it's human contact transmitted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, you could be infecting, they could be infecting each other and all of the people around them. You don't
right.
have sex. So it's important.
This is more about new partners that we're talking about, like as far as Tinder and stuff goes. You know, the recommendations are that we try to stay home as much as we can, and that we really only interact with people for things that are essential. Now, even when we do that, keeping the physical distance of about 6 feet from other people definitely makes sex a challenge. But there are some other options. There are other options that you can do, like, I'm going to be romantic here. You could talk to the person.
What?
I know. There's now, anybody who's watching, like, on Netflix, the show Love is Blind, these people going into the pods and having conversations with them. And
I should watch that.
Having this sheet of glass that's between them. It's a wall that they're able to speak through, and they fall in love with each other without ever even seeing each other. A really, really interesting social experiment.
You know, remember years ago, we when you dated and you didn't send pictures over email, when you talked to each other, when
you wrote a letter.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
And the mail.
I love getting to know people that way. And in some ways, it's delightful, because you already have these, like, yes, you might meet them and it might not be the sparks, but my gosh, how cool is it if it is, doesn't have the spark, to have a really great intimate friendship that you connect on whatever levels you connect with. I mean, I think we've lost that ability. And I know I've certainly heard people saying, oh my God, you know, I'm on the dating apps and nobody can complete a sentence, or nobody can have a real conversation. Mm. And it's stupid. I don't know. Stupid's probably the wrong word. It's unfortunate. And if you're looking for a hookup, you're looking for a hookup. And that's one thing, right? I mean, I'm still the type of person who I want to like you.
Yeah.
Some people really don't care. If they look good enough for me, and that's all I need, you know, I don't care.
For sex's sake.
Right. Know, and that's fine. If you're everybody's on the same page, whatever you're doing, as long as you're doing it consensually and you each know what each other is doing, fine. But it is sad that some people really don't know how to have a conversation over email and letters. Those are great and beautiful ways to communicate in a relationship that's established, because sometimes that's the way you can hear each other better. It's the way you can speak to each other better.
Yeah.
And, yep. You know, and it allows time to process without having to be either face-to-face or these short, quick messages. You know, in my men's group, the amount of discussion that goes around on how she sent me this message. I have no idea what tone she's sending it in, or mm-hmm. I sent her a message and, oh my God, she took it bad. And in my head, I'm like, no. I'm seriously, no negativity, but I can't convey that, you know? And some of the guys that I work with literally cannot communicate with their partner besides very specific texts, because I work of men who have been arrested for domestic violence.
Yeah.
So they have, I see this social experiment.
Yeah, all the time. Right?
All the time. And the frustration and the text, you know, happy that they have the text to communicate, but still knowing that, oh my God, you know, we haven't seen each other in 3 months and the last communication we had was horrible. And how can she possibly think that I am being kind right now when I really do feel kind right now?
Yeah.
You know, so it
might be a great time to unwind some of those kinks in communication, you know, to really, and I stress this so much, especially in my group and on my Facebook page, about how important words are and how words are only words until we give them purpose and intention, you know, or we assign what they mean or how they trigger us, or, you know, it doesn't have a tone to it or whatever else. The word is just the word. But be really, really intentional about what you say. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. I think there's a lot of help in that. We try
you
and tell stories.
You are not from Minnesota, sweetie.
I know. The whole passive aggressive bullshit.
I totally agree with you. I want to be really, really clear with you. I totally agree. But it is something if you could be anywhere in the world listening to this. But in Minnesota, in the Midwest.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
And I have always known this was a thing, but I have a one of my favorite people on the planet has spent a very good amount of time in other parts of the country. And she's like, oh my God, she's like, the communication here is so impossible. And what happens, so in Minnesota, we have this thing called Minnesota Nice.
Yeah.
And some people, they see it. If you only see it in a particular way, it is a compliment. Mm-hmm. Other people see it. It's a sort of, backhanded,
passive aggressive. Totally, yep, passive aggressive.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's like I Duluth, I think, was actually rated as like the kindest or nicest city or the best city for same-sex couples to come to visit. Mm-hmm. And I thought that is so fascinating to me because it is probably true in that they are probably left alone, because for the most part, people might say something, but they're probably going to say it behind your back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not always genuine. And that being said, oh my God, we have beautiful, wonderful, genuine, straightforward people here. So it's not like a total shit show, but it is a thing. And it's something we really struggle with. And add to that, being female, it is. We need to learn how to do that in this part of the country, but I think everywhere.
Well, I know that this is not what this podcast is about, but I just want to plant some thought here for people who may want to address their communication, that when you don't say what you mean, or you use words to deflect or to protect or not just be wishy-washy, comes back to those four fear buckets that I talk about often. Just remember that it's often fear-based. The idea of not saying directly what you mean is because you're afraid of the outcome. And that kind of shows that you have some insecurities that you might need to work through in your shadow side. That's not a bad thing. It's actually bringing it to the forefront means that you can address it and you can think about it. So try to practice your yes being yes and your no being no as your very basic start to doing a more clear conversation is, you know, when someone asks you a question, say yes if you mean yes, or say no if you mean no. It's very, very simple. But it's difficult for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So start there and then, you know, grow out from that. If somebody asks you, you know, you feel like playing around and you don't say, no, not right now. Or say, yeah, let's get it on. You know,
These are my boundaries. Yes, right. I'm interested in that. And I think sometimes the true challenge is not always that we're not straightforward. It's that we haven't really got the full answer in our own head yet. Mm-hmm. You know, so we might say yes because we think, and then they're like, well, wait a minute. And now how do I go back and recant my statement or say, oh, but wait a minute, I have this boundary for whatever reason, you know?
And boundaries should be unique to you. They shouldn't be checklists like expectations. So don't get those confused. Like, don't use it as emotional hijacking. and say,
talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, I'm going to say, if somebody shows interest in, let's use playing for an example, okay? Say, I'm going to just use the husband and wife situation because it's easy. Say you're in the kitchen and you're washing dishes and your husband comes up behind you and says, or squeezes your butt or something and makes some suggestion about play. And you're like, you'd say, yes, but I need to do the dishes. The kids need to be taken care of, this, that, and the other thing. You take out the trash, blah, 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 blah. Those are expectations. That's not boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
A boundary would be like, I'd really love to, but I need to clear my plate of some of these, some of the things going on so I can be fully available to you. Mm. That's more of a boundary. That's expressing through vulnerability that you need to have some things taken care of before you can fully be engaged. And that comes off much more soft than being a nag. Mm-hmm. And being like, you're not doing enough because I have to do it all. Because right. That's how the man's going to take it.
Right.
And then he's just going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So communication, it's such a delicate dance of the masculine and feminine energy. And if we care for someone and if we love them and if we desire to be intimate with someone, we take, without being passive aggressive, we need to be soft to each other.
And it's hard to do sometimes in a relationship where things are established, patterns are established, trusts have been broken, or bad patterns have been established.
Yes.
Try to do that. And so it's why therapists, it's why coaches like yourself are needed to get over those humps when you just can't do it yourself, because these paths have been so worn with both of you, you know. And I would also say too, in your statement of how we take things and how we do things, which is important, also, you know, think about that for the other person. If you're listening to somebody and they're not responding to you, you know that they're not telling their story, or they're not able to speak their words. Is it,
and what fear is there? Why is there a fear there?
Right. Does it have to do with you? Does it have to do with their past history? Can you talk about that? Right. Like, I mean, my God, in my life, God bless the people who have been able to recognize that, many of them not from Minnesota, who have been able to say, I sense this is going on. What's going on? And care.
Lean in.
To, yes, exactly. And kind of go, what's this about? You know, for you, because I feel this way, I feel that you're not able to tell me this, and I want to be able to know that. And I mean, and those are, we don't learn that stuff. So it's a process, and this is a great opportunity.
Yeah, you have no other distractions going on right now.
Right. And so it's great that you're putting out some of these videos, because it's a lovely time to try to re-engage in re-enter some of those places a little differently. And that's challenge.
Yeah. So if you can get through the communication part with your partner, or even if you're on social media, Tinder or a dating app or something like that, and we can, you know, during this quarantine time, we're working on our communication. Maybe phone sex is an opportunity. Maybe sexting is an opportunity. Maybe, like we said, writing a letter or writing some erotica, acknowledging fantasies. These are all very sexually healthy things to do. Mm-hmm. And they can help increase intimacy. They can help you have a better understanding of yourself and your partner. What I'd really suggest, though, because in the very beginning of this quarantine process, we're supposed to kind of be self-isolating, like distancing and all that kind of thing. And if you can get through the very first thing is 72 hours fever-free, symptom-free. If you are 72 hours symptom-free, fever-free, and so you're not worrying about your immediate health at the time. You could be asymptomatic, but you're not showing symptoms. It's a great time for you to start exploring your own body, because you have 2 weeks, 72 hours out of it. So that's 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3 days. Yep. So now you've got 12 more days of self-quarantining to really give you the knowledge that you know you're not sick.
Right. That's like, you know, the absolute, that, yeah. Well, as far as we know right now, in the moment that we're recording this,
they're saying, yeah, right.
In the moment. That is the, you're going to be good. You know,
they're saying 2 weeks. Now, also I need to acknowledge that right now everybody's thinking we're going to get over this 15-day quarantine and then we're going to go back to normal life. That's not necessarily true. So, right. We're all watching and waiting. But during this time is a great time for self-exploration. And so masturbation, touching yourself, pleasing yourself in the shower, using toys, reading the erotica and stuff like that, just kind of figuring out what it is that makes you tick. Plug into your five senses, six senses, use your imagination too, but touch, smell, feel, taste, you know, hear, and just kind of pay attention to what your body is doing as a result of that. And then take that information and share it with your partner.
Or, my gosh,
almost, I mean, like an experiment, you know?
Right. Or you could be, I mean, so, you know, you could even be in the same place if for whatever reason you're not touching each other. You know, let's say you've got somebody who just doesn't know. Right? They've come back from a trip. They're feeling good, but they're staying away because they just don't know.
Yeah, you could be in the same apart room, and still do mutual masturbation.
Right. Separately together or together. If you're, again, you've got to be really careful, hygienic. But yeah, I mean, you know, you can explore things that way.
Let's talk about that too, just because I want people to know that coronavirus is not a sexually transmitted disease. It is not, you will not catch coronavirus from the act of sex. The coronavirus is a respiratory droplet virus. So it's about the kissing and breathing on each other, doggy style, much safer sexual position for the non-transmission of coronavirus, you know, anything with the back to where you're not going to be breathing in somebody else's mucus droplets in the, or moisture in the air that they were breathing, mm-hmm. where you're not kissing, maybe try putting some, try not kissing each other. I mean, this is it's a challenge for some people. I'm a very kissy person. Mm-hmm. So for me to have sex with someone and not kiss them,
Right.
Talk about other senses having to take over. Right. Talk about self-control and tease and denial. Mm-hmm. I mean, it adds a whole nother level to the whole erotic experience, you know. I don't, you know, giving oral sex is not going to give somebody the coronavirus. So if your partner is 72 hours fever free and symptom free and your pussy and your face are 3 to 6 feet apart, let them eat you out. I don't know. I mean, like,
but then, absolutely
take a shower.
You have to take a shower.
Because you can't touch and then put it in your
because
mouth.
If she's given you or whoever, he, she
oral,
has given you a blowjob, for instance, you then touch your dick. And then you put it near your face, you've done, boom, barrier gone.
Yeah, right. So there
are
ways
really
to do
tricky.
It is tricky. But again, we're talking about people in the same house.
Oh, right. And there's,
from each other anyway.
Right.
But
it's just kind of an interesting thing to sort of go, okay, what are the scenarios? Because, you can reasonably be together and probably be fine. And then there's the all the stages of how far do you take it?
Yeah.
But no, if you're partnered and you there is that small chance you could be passing it on. That's not necessarily to try to throw fear into it. It's just to say, hey, there, just to be aware, you know, if you get
we're
it
in this together.
Right. Yeah. And if something happens, you know where it came from. It's not a surprise to you of like, well, wait, they didn't have any symptoms. Well, no. Just to know you're probably totally fine, but there's always a small chance, and that isn't to say you shouldn't take the chance. It's just knowing the chance you're taking.
Yeah. I mean, you could give somebody a hand job with gloves on, mm-hmm. and then throw the gloves away.
Right.
I mean, there's ways around this. I guess that's what I'm saying is that for couples – who are, I mean, they're afraid of the idea, oh no, we can't even have sex. I think that's a little over the top for
right.
me.
Yep.
If you've been in quarantine together for a yep. couple of days now and you're still not having a fever and you're yep. not symptomatic.
Yeah.
So I want people to understand that, you know, you can still be a sexual person even in quarantine. A lot of people are very angry and very frustrated right now. And I think some of that is because they're unable to have a release. Mm-hmm. So go whack off, for God's sake. Somebody, you know, just go release some pressure, release some stress, relieve some anxiety, and get some of those endorphins going in your body that help boost your immune system, help with anxiety and make you just like chill out for a little bit, where you just like, where you can be okay for right. We can all be okay in an orgasmic state for a couple of minutes a day and make the world a much better place.
And it's gonna, you know, especially if you are somebody living in a smaller space, it, mm-hmm. it may require some different communication that you've had before.
Yeah, get creative this, though. You know? Get creative.
Yeah,
you can
totally.
Do this. You can
totally.
Do this.
This could be really Maybe, fun.
Make yeah. What fun. About a husband and a wife who do like a little FaceTime thing from two separate rooms, and she's his cam girl, or maybe there's, you know, you send each other sexy videos. Because I mean, you can be close to each other and still be playful. How do you add playfulness to this? I guess right. is really well, and, what it comes down to.
And listen, here's just another thought I have that comes a little bit from my own experience of if your partner is trying to be playful with you, or they're suggesting, you know, be mindful to not shut that door down.
Yes,
because listen to
they're
the
trying.
Need and what they're saying. They're trying, and they might be saying, I have needs and I need to express myself. And, you know, for instance, one of the thoughts I had when you were talking about sending stuff, you know, you can be in the same house and you can write each other, like you say, you could write text, you can write emails, you can, you know, write a sexy story together where you each take different parts, or you build on each other.
Yeah. You know, and if your kids are in the house, this might be a way to be playful with each other and be building foreplay till you can get to bed.
Right.
I mean,
right.
you can do these kind of things. You don't have to be freaked out. You can take a picture of the color of underwear you're wearing and send it to your partner, or, you know, just a cute picture where you're like sucking on your finger, or I mean, like anything suggestive like that is really, really a turn on for somebody that's in, we're like sex in captivity. It's like we're caged animals, right? Mm-hmm. So you smell good, you can still look good even though you're in your, like I was just telling Judy, I haven't really gotten dressed since I came home from the cities. I've pretty much been naked and in bed, like in a little slump, because I'm just like, I don't see an end to this. I don't know how long this is going to be. I'm usually on the go, go, go all the time. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is kind of hard to change my patterns and my habits. But today I decided, you know, I was going to go into my closet and I'm going to put on one of my sexy dresses. The temperature is fine in my house. It's not uber cold. I put on some makeup. I put on my lipstick, you know, whatever, because I still want to be appealing to my partner. Mm-hmm. He's got to look at me more now than he would have looked at me in the past. Right. I want to be building positive things
right.
about myself, not negative things.
Right. And it feels good.
Yeah.
You know, to get dressed and feel good in whatever you are doing.
Open the blinds and look outside. Right. Like I haven't done that in a couple days either. Like, oh no, the sun's too bright.
Right. Exactly.
I don't want to see the zombies coming, or I don't want to look at the snow anymore. You know, if in the end of this, I can see green grass, like at the end, like I'm thinking, this is what I thought to myself this morning. I'm in bed and I'm thinking about getting up and I'm like, do I open the blinds or do I leave the blinds closed? And then I'm like, maybe by the time the quarantine's over, I'll be able to see my grass.
Mm.
That could be months. That's not a really positive thought. But I'm very excited about the idea of, you know, if this quarantine thing was happening in the summertime, I'd be outside. I've got 10 acres. I'd be outside doing stuff. For people who live in like the city where they're not able to get together, or I was even reading an article that Point Pleasant Beach, which is where I grew up, there's a boardwalk there. They're famous for their boardwalk. And as the weather is decent, they're seeing more and more people coming out to go for a walk. They're closing the boardwalk down.
Oh.
Because it narrows the path for people to be in proximity with each other.
Right.
Now, if you want to go walk on the beach, you can do that.
Right.
But not on the boardwalk. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really funny how we're looking at so many things that we can't do. Can't, a place mm-hmm. of lack, a place of fear, a place of just self, you know, where we're just worried about everything that's happening to me, instead of a place of abundance. Like, there is plenty of space in our world for us to be able to walk. We just need to be conscious of what right. our choices are and where we go and what we do, you know.
Right. And if you have a car,
yeah,
you can get in your own car. You can clean your own car if you want, but you right. get in your own car, you can drive to a place, you can be very mindful about what you touch, or take sanitizer yeah. with you, and don't go crazy, don't go touching massive amounts of stuff, but you can go for a walk, you could go do, you know, and then come back home and then either, you know, shower, wash your hands or whatever, but you can still go out and do that. It's certainly, yeah. there's certainly no reason you can't. Yeah.
I think yeah. it's funny to even like, it's not funny. I think it's curious that something like the boardwalk can be shut down. Because when you introduce people to the open air, the dilution of your molecules and stuff that come out of your body is so it's spread out. It's like it very much diluted through the air particles, that it's not like a closed ventilation where that you're recycling the same air around and around, or there aren't other places for the draft to come by or the wind to take this or whatever. You know, it's kind of weird to me that we have to stay inside and keep ourselves closed up where all of the germs and stuff stay on things.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's just kind of like a dichotomy that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but I get it. And I understand, because they want us to keep our germs to ourselves. And,
right.
and that's everybody's yeah. germs. They're all their own germs. So
this is about,
stay
yes.
with your germs.
Keeping you with your own germs. And in some places they can have the windows open, right? So they can air yeah. things out and keep the air moving.
Well, they're good. Singing out the windows
yeah.
in Italy.
Oh my gosh.
I love that. And playing tennis, like between.
I saw that.
Cool.
Yes. So, yes. That's pretty cool.
Well, what do you think about that?
What else? Do we have anything else we need to add to being at home, being safe, being with your partner, know who you're having sex with, know where who you're having sex with has been? Hence the no hookups. Just because somebody says they haven't been with anybody else does not mean they haven't been with anybody else.
Well, do we know that anytime?
No, we really don't, right?
That's really what it comes down to is that we just need to be more aware. And I think that so many people are so trusting when it comes to sex and sexual histories and stuff like that, that they don't know the person well enough to know
right.
for sure. And they just go about having sex. So I was surprised, and I'll add this, sex parties are still going on.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked.
They've
reduced the number of people that can be at a party.
Okay.
But even so,
wow.
Intimate contact is so much more directly contacted.
Yeah.
Than touching surfaces. I mean, I know that touching surfaces and stuff makes it so uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm.
But how well is that place being cleaned afterward? How
right.
you know?
Well, and just on your own body.
Yeah.
That seems like a really.
Sex going on.
That's not.
And that doesn't seem responsible.
Right. No. And you just don't know. The best well-intentioned person, you know, it's, and there are too many people who, I don't know where we're at right now, but when I was out last week, some of the comments were just very uneducated and very just not understand, you know, the mindsets of the people who are saying, well, I'm young and I'm going to be fine. It's like, this isn't about you.
Right.
This is about you giving it to other, you know, you touch something. And quite frankly, we've learned from the doctors in other countries and from the data, at least if you believe what's coming out, is that it doesn't matter if you're young, you just don't know. Yes, you might be just fine. Obviously, you might be just fine, but counting on it, and do you want to be dealing with it? You know, so yeah. It's very short-sighted to, because again, we have asymptomatic people. If you're young and you have a good immune system and you're asymptomatic and you go visit everybody to be the nice person and helpful and you've been everywhere, you're the vector of disease and you can be fine, right? I mean, I had a friend of mine, she, everybody in her house and her mom did daycare.
Yeah.
Everybody was getting strep throat over and over and over again. And the doctor finally said, is there anybody in the house who just has not gotten strep throat and hasn't been brought in? And she said, yeah, I've got one kid. And brought her in. She had no symptoms, feeling fine. And she was the one. She was passing it back because she had no symptoms and yeah. was giving everybody strep over and over again. And nobody thought about it, right? And I think that there's just a lot of not thinking about this and the lack of testing. You know, I've heard over and over again, well, we don't have it in St. Louis County. And enough people going, just because it's not here, just because we don't know it's here,
doesn't mean it's not.
Isn't here. You know, if you don't test for diabetes, you'll never have diabetes. If you don't test for cancer, you can't see cancer. You don't ever have cancer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, well, coming out of the New York Post, they say that you are your safest sex partner. That is, and we know that New York City is dealing with a really large outbreak and a lot of severe cases. Mm-hmm. So masturbation will not spread the COVID-19, especially if you wash your hands and any sex toys with soap and warm water for at least 20 seconds before and after. And then the next safest partner is someone you live with.
That makes perfect sense.
That's what it says. So yeah. Keeping the circle of people small and close helps prevent the disease. Anyone outside of the household, avoid. No group sex either, they say. People who usually meet partners online should take a break. Video dates, sexting, chat rooms are options. This is what New York City is saying right now.
I am glad somebody is talking about this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That is fantastic.
Whatever you do in your personal life is your own business, but maybe it's not the best time to have orgies outside of the house and bring it home. And condoms and washing up are more important now than ever. The guidance for New York is updated regularly, of course, but this is what they're saying. So that's the health department directly giving that information, and people are shocked at how graphic they're being, but they have
to
be.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. We need that. We're absolutely short-sighted if we don't, because how many people, because it's under the radar, right? If we're not talking about sex, it means it's not happening. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Quote unquote. Yep. And therefore you'd go do what you want. And I think that's the sex. We don't talk about sex. So it's a thing that doesn't exist. So if I go do it, nobody's going to ever know.
Yep.
Right. Like, well, I know that's not reality, but I'm saying that that's kind of a mindset that we have. We do sex behind closed doors. So whatever happens behind closed doors is your business. Well, not right now.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of like, I don't want to make any sort of comparison exactly with the AIDS crisis, because I don't, you know, that's a whole different marginalization that happened, and that's not my point. Mm-hmm. But the people who took AIDS very, very seriously and went, oh my gosh, I have to change my behavior, versus the people who went, whatever, I'm going to be fine, who are now, you know, dead. Because because again, we don't talk about this stuff enough. I mean, our whole podcast, the whole discussion of sex and sexuality, it's prepping for this, to make this exact instance easier, right?
Yeah, right.
Of this type of thing, to be able to communicate. There are people living in houses with people right now who have no way to figure out how to communicate with them. And maybe it's not that they're not doing the work, it's that they've got somebody else who's sort of stonewalling them, who doesn't think they need to do the work and who it doesn't matter. And you're probably end up in a very, you know, there's some very stressed out households because you've got one person who wants to communicate and the other person who doesn't, sees it as too private or too shameful.
Yeah.
And those are the situations that are very uncool right now. And for people who just can't, you know, communicate with each other and bring themselves to be able to talk about these things for the same reasons, history, shame, etc. Those little things can turn into really big things. And then it can be about sex, sexuality, but it can be about anything. That just tension gets high, you know, when there isn't that connection and that outlet and that communication. And okay. I have quite literal concern about them. Again, I work with domestic violence. So knowing what sometimes can come out of is very, very real for people.
I get self-judgy often because I consider myself a high risk person. Like, I like to take risks. I get high vibe energy out of the adrenaline that comes with that. But there's a difference between being high risk and being stupid.
Right.
And I'm not a stupid person. I consider myself to be very intelligent. So make your choices carefully. Make choices carefully and consider all around you. This isn't just a virus that affects you. This affects everybody. Right. So, yeah.
So before we go, let's tell them how to find, say the name of your Facebook group again, and then where people can find you online.
Okay. So I'm all over Facebook. You can find Patricia Engelking all over the place. I think I've actually got five pages or groups or whatever, but this new group that I just started specifically around the quarantine is called Close Encounters, Sparking Intimacy in Quarantine and Beyond. So this group is open to everyone. It is not totally sexually charged. You know, my main page, I often talk about sex and sexual subjects, and I'm very graphic about that sort of stuff. And I even do a broadcast from my bathtub naked. You don't see anything, of course, but I let that kind of simmer in your mind while you're listening to me. And on this page, this group that I'm doing, this is geared towards everyone. And there is no, it's not pointed in any direction, so it can be open to any relationship, any partnership, any, you know, married, unmarried, gay, lesbian, however you want to, you know, if you're just partners, roommates, even, it doesn't matter. If you're looking to connect that intimacy, it would be a great resource for you. And my new book, Embrace Your Sexual Energy, is due to come out soon, and I'll be sampling that in this group. And it's a do-it-yourself book on how to unravel and let go of fear, shame, and guilt around sex and be your most sexually authentic person.
Yay. I'm looking forward to that. And
and
my podcast, The Wellness Renaissance Podcast, can be found on iTunes. Just look up The Wellness Renaissance Podcast. But you can also find it on the web at wellnessrenpodcast.com. And I am doing some episodes around the virus.
Yeah. Your podcasts are so diverse and informative, and just, I love that they're kind of all over the board. That's really, really interesting and fun to just kind of pop on and see what's next. So
thank you. That's kind of the deal, right? Like
this
health and wellness thing. I mean, you know, I wish there was another word for the podcast, because I feel like wellness is too much of a catch-all, but it still sends people to, oh, you're going to tell me what to eat and how much to move. And it's like, you know how much we actually don't talk about that on the podcast.
Right.
You know, it's more about how do we do life.
So much other stuff. Right?
And awareness. Yeah. Because it's, you know, for me, it's how do we stay out of the, either stay out of the medical system if we don't need to be there, or maximize our own, you know, the medical system, the doctor's office is only going to give you so much because they only have so much time for so much. And
right.
There's a lot more out there that we can do to take care of ourselves. So,
that's right.
Yeah. So check that out. And of course, if, you know, now is one of those times that a lot of people are in a lot of fear about what's happening financially, et cetera, et cetera. But if you are one of those people who's listening and you like the work we're doing and you are able, join us on Patreon, become part of our Patreon community, and give a couple bucks to help let us know that you want the work we're doing to remain and help keep that going. It's so, mm-hmm. so important. And again, if you can't, you can't. I totally get it. But there's certainly a lot of people out there who want to support things like this and continue the conversation and continue the arts and continue those things. So thank you to those people for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And on that note, sex matters.
Yes, it does. Even in quarantine.
Even in quarantine. Especially in quarantine, maybe in some way.
Period.
Thank you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.